We are activating your unique self-discovery one show at a time. The Orchard of Wisdom Self-Discovery Podcast are at your fingertips, just waiting to inspire and invite you in discovering just how awesome you really are and how to navigate through life in joy, enrichment, personal abundance, in mind, body, spirit, heart, and soul. All the people we bring you are here to serve you on your journey of life. Do enjoy our next show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Choose Positive Living right here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my wonderful guest is James Gardiner. And we're going to be talking about his book today, a wonderful book about all with love, a journey. I can't read the writing of that. It's yellow. The journey of going in, his journey of the hero within, connecting with his inner child, our younger selves, and reconnecting to the magical perception of youth by walking hand in hand with our younger selves. He said most recently he has embarked on traveling and speaking about his powerful new memoir, All In With Love. And this book chronicles an amazing life experiences and accomplishments, showcasing how he turned poor choices and failures into a recipe for personal growth. But above all, it is a story of reconnection, of getting back to the wonder and the curiosity of the inner child and living life in its glorious potential. Beautifully and compellingly written, his story not only entertains us, but it also provides us with a deep introspective on questions and thoughts about life and our younger selves, reconnecting to that magical perception of youth walking hand in hand with our younger selves and bringing into our business ventures, relationships, and everyday living the key to happiness. Everybody's looking for that key to happiness, and they're all looking for it on the outside. It doesn't live there, does it, James?
No, it does not.
It's life is an inside out job. And you know, I think through the journey of life, we discover that. We would just like people to discover it a little earlier in life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things. If we can just get people to shift, we seem to find it middle age seems to be the gateway to kind of start to rediscover that youth. And I look back and, you know, if I had just let go in my early 30s, my goodness, what a pivot my life would have gone, you know. It's never too late and it's never too early to reconnect to our younger selves.
100% agree with you there. You know, I have had some wonderful people on here in their 80s and their 90s. And, you know, myself came in my late 50s with this redirection and 10 and a half years of podcasting. It is never too late. And you know, I think when we're young, all we want to do is grow up and be an adult and have that freedom to make our choices. And then we get there and it's like, okay, I've got to make this choice now. I've also got to pay the price for the choice I've just made. And we're not always prepared for that, are we?
No, we're not. You hit the nail on the head, though. When we're young, we want everything to speed up and rush. And we want to get things now. We want to get older. We want to learn, get our license and all those things. And then when we enter that doorway of adulthood, which I talk about in the book, inevitably it happens for all of us at some point, some sooner than later. However it happens. And when it does, pretty soon we start to, the shift happens where we want things to slow down.
Yes.
And we're desperately, as we get older, grasping for things just to slow down. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that key is at the outstretched hand of our younger self, for sure.
You know, slowing down doesn't mean that either you're being lazy or you're avoiding or that you're abstaining from life. It just means that you know where to put your productive energy, you know, more vibrationally. Mm. You know, that energy is going to be spent here. I can spend my energy there. But because I've slowed down, I've been able to assess and see things more clearly, feel things more clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it, Sarah. When we slow down, we inevitably start to listen better to ourselves. We start to connect to that truth that's always there within us. And I think by slowing down, that allows us to either, like you just said, to choose to do things that align with us or just honor the journey So the slower we go is, you know, the smelling the roses type thing.
Yes.
You know, it is true though. It's about honoring the journey of whatever it is we're doing, relationships, a simple task for work, whatever it is. And, you know, we talked about, you mentioned childlike youth of perception in your intro, and nobody does it better than a child of being present.
Oh, right? Yes. Yes. That's where the gift of life is, in the presence. Right.
Right.
Yes.
So it makes sense. It makes sense that we go back, you know, as someone like yourself and myself that are involved in the self-growth field, if you will, we hear terms like higher self and self-actualization and all these things as we, you know, ascend and evolve. And truly though, as we climb this ladder of that to, in a sense, source or purity, what we're really doing is we're just reconnecting that loop back to our younger selves, to that pure essence of X, Y, and Z.
You know, I have a 19-month-old grandson, and I had to wait a long time to become a grandma. So, you know, very, very special for me. My daughter's pregnant with another one, so soon there's going to be two bundles of joy there. But the and I've spent a lot of time with him. I go, she's in Nanaimo in Victoria. I go for 3 months. I was there every week, and now I go every other week. And I have this wonderful quality time with him. But one of my most special moments is just watching him simply be at play in his own little world, doing his own little things. And you just kind of go, I'd love to know what's going on in there. And you can see them almost having a conversation with themselves. The eyes start doing this and the faces start doing that, or they start giggling, or they start, you know, something else. And when you also have that, you know, it's permission to be silly buggers. And do we have this wonderful little gobbledygook language that we speak to each other, and faces that we pull at each other, and teaching him to... And, you know, all of this. And it's lovely because my childlike can come out innocently and match him. And there's such a beautiful reminder of how much more simple it is to be present, to be in the moment of joy, exploration, you know, inquiry, discovery, and that how much more clarity there is in those moments.
Yeah, I love that. First off, can you do that sound again? That was beautiful, Sarah.
Which one?
you know, the thing is, now I lost my train of thought. shoot, I had it. Inside, outside. Oh, yeah, that brilliance that a child has of just sitting there. Like you said, you see that magic of, God, what, they're in the moment. And truthfully, it's because they are in the moment and they have yet to grasp the evils of expectation and judgment and outward association. And you know, that's the other thing about that doorway of adulthood is when we start to walk through that, we start to dishonor ourselves with certain choices that we do, or we're manipulated by the media or God knows what else, right? And that's the thing. And so if we can bring some of that back into our relationships, our business dynamics, having fun on a podcast, you know, that's bringing back that kind of innocent quality of, hey, I'm here. No judgments, no expectations, you know, like just lead with love and just be.
That's the key. Just be.
Right?
With love, just be. Simple statement. If we could come from love and just be, we are.
It's true.
We don't need to be. I wasted over 50 years of my life trying to live up to societal's expectations, everybody else's expectation of me, right? What a waste of time. I was enough who I was in my own beautiful, goofy self. And if I wasn't somebody's cup of tea, that's fine. Strong cup of black coffee, right? You know, you can't fit everybody's size. You know, there is no one size fits all to everything in life. And if somebody doesn't get you, that's okay. It's not on you. It's just you're not their cup of tea. But society demands that, you know, we have the thousands of likes and the thousands of approvals and the, you know, and everybody else's interpretation of what you should be. And we become the should be's rather than what the we are's.
Love that. I mean, amen. I just wrote a whole book about that, you know.
Right. And it's
disassociating.
Needed.
Yes. Disassociating with all of that and getting back to the truth of who I was. And for me, that's little Jimmy. That's getting back to my younger self. So it's beautiful.
And not becoming childish, but looking at life through childlike. Right? You know, that beautiful, innocent and sheer delight of living. Now, you know, a two-year-old is going to have a tantrum, or when a child is hungry or hurt, they're going to cry, they're, you know, going to throw things and all of that. That's because they've not learned how to express themselves in any other way. We don't have to go back to that, right? But when we look at life through those childlike eyes and see it in a sense of wonderment, in creativity, in creation, and we see how much the world and the universe gives us, and that it all comes from within us, our whole perception, our heart, soul, spirit, mind, all of it from within us. We then live in a state of gratitude, in a positive attitude, instead of complaining about life all the time.
Yeah, playing and getting stuck in that record groove of victim, the victim mentality, or just negative frequency. You know, the world definitely needs to turn up the dial on the frequency meter in terms of how we all show up and how we live, you know.
Does it in megaly. And you know, and people go and say, I'm just one person, I can't do anything. And I say to each and every person out there, you are the one person we need. If everybody stepped into their own beautiful essence of who they are in gratitude, in light, we would not have the problems we have in the world. We are the solution, but we're also the problem.
That's the riddle right there. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
I think it's also the willingness to look at ourselves and realize we've been a problem in our own lives.
No, it is. I mean, let's face it though, Sarah, most people do not want to do the work.
No, I agree.
And it takes work. It takes deep work. Mm-hmm. Now, not everyone's equipped to do that. And there's coaches, there's mentors, mm-hmm. there's people, you know, to support that. But then there's people that just don't want to do it. And, you know, it's a shame. And I think, you know, that's a big part of the problem too. That frequency we're talking about is mm-hmm. because a lot of people will never get out of that lane on the highway. That's their lane.
Yes.
Right. There's a right-hand lane, which is your self-growth, do the work. There's a middle lane that we can kind of sway.
Yes.
Yeah, they may need a little bit of education or prodding. And then there's a lane, unfortunately, in life that people will never get out of their own way. And I know this is a positive conversation. And it's also, that's the reality of human,
yes.
of human nature, of human beings.
You know? Well, you know, this show is particularly called Choose Positive Living, and this is Self Discovery Network. And you know, if we're willing to discover ourselves, and again, don't beat yourself up for the mistakes you made, the choices you made with the information and the state of mind you were in at the time. Yeah. Now you know better. Forgive yourself for those bad choices. And like, now I know better, I can make better choices. Will they be 100% right? Who knows? Time will tell. But at least you are more willing to recognize that was a wrong road for me. And now I am willing to change directions, get off the highway altogether, and just try exploring other roads in my own self-discovery.
Yeah. And we have to be willing. And again, that's a childlike quality.
Yeah.
Exploration, adventure, be willing to step out into the unknown. And be willing to put yourself out there, because while there may be some fear and anxiety, you know, it's pure fear and anxiety. We're not creating the story and what we think people are going to perceive of us doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Well, that's the difference. We get caught in our own narrative a lot about what we think everyone else is going to say or do or be because of our actions. If we if we honor our truth, which truthfully, honor our truth, truthfully, is one of the hardest things. And even for me in my journey, there is always, and I say this, and feel free to disagree with me, Sarah, there is always collateral damage when we honor our truth, our intrinsic truth. And what I mean by that is there may be relationships that fall apart. There may be money that's lost from financial decisions. There may be all these things, and make no mistake, they will happen.
Oh, yes.
And the acceptance and the ownership and the peace of that happens when we disassociate, when we are passionately unattached from the narrative outside of ourselves. And that's the trick.
And I agree with you, not disagree. You know, for some people, it's a tap on the shoulder, a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know, like, here's the path you can take. And as you said, people are so narrowly in the other lane that they don't see all the turnoffs that they could have. A lot of that comes from fear. What is fear? Fear of not being liked, not being approved of, not being valued, fear of the unknown. Well, only way something's going to get known is if you step into discovery. And if you're living by trying to please other people, you will always disappoint yourself. And the value you place on yourself is the value that others will see you at. So, you know, we have to look at it. And this is why some people, as they say, get the nudge and a wink, wink, and other people get the cosmic 2x4. When the universe comes in and said, I'm going to give you cancer, I'm going to make you bankrupt, I'm going to bring everything to an end, so that you have to rise from your ashes. It's not how to get you, it's for you, isn't it?
Oh, that's it. Everything happens for us, not to us, for sure. You know, and even that is a state of mind switch that, you know, takes some work to understand, but it's such a beautiful, beautiful flip of the script that truly works. It goes back to, what's your perception? Perception is everything, truly.
It is. And attitude.
Yep. Attitude, perception, mindset, all of that.
Gratitude, you know? All of that. I think also, you know, what we don't realize is how we speak to ourselves. You know, we're speaking to ourselves again under that perception or assumption of other people's opinion of us. Right? I'm not worthy. Oh, I'll never be good enough. Or I can't do that. Or I'm unlovable. Or I'm too fat. I'm too thin. I'm too old. I'm too young. You know, it's always I'm too. And because we're looking at ourselves from the outside in and other people's perception of us, instead of stepping into our own beautiful essence, you know, igniting our hearts, souls, and spirits, allowing that universal wisdom to come through you, ignite the heart, lift the spirit into action, and for the mind to know what it needs to know when it needs to know it. In other words, getting out of the chatter of the mind, aligning the soul, heart, and spirit's intellect to come through. Now you're actually making a choice and seeing something from the wholeness of you, from the connectiveness, and not from the exterior.
Love that. I love that. Yep. I mean, that's it. It's dropping from the headset to heart set.
Yes.
And letting that kind of guide you forward. Truly, I mean, when you lead with love, you're being led with love too.
Yes.
And that's that heart set approach.
And you attract love.
And, oh, yeah, absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
And it'd be out energy back.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean, you know, all of a sudden everybody's going to love you. No, the people that have risen to that frequency are going to love you, because that's the love you're at. If people aren't capable of loving you on that vibe, that frequency, is because they're not there yet. That doesn't mean you fail to reach them. It's just they've failed to connect with you because they haven't taken that journey and haven't got that far yet. But you can only be responsible for self. And how you portray yourself to everyone else. And how do you want to portray yourself? Do you want that inner child, which is loving and giving and caring and exuberant, to match the adult, you know, wisdom, intellect, knowledge, you know, to marry the two together and present yourself in that light?
Did you read my book?
No.
It sounds like it did. So I call that hero wisdom. And So, you know, the book is All In With Love, My Journey to the Hero Within. The hero within is little Jimmy.
Yes.
And so I truly believe in the work that I do, bring wisdom to me is that blend of old and young yes. perception
yes.
on how we view in any situation, any relationship, anything. So on one hand, you have the innocence, the wonder, the adventure, the curiosity, you know, and coming in. And then you have the intellect, the savvy, the street mm-hmm. smarts too. And you know, that's the beautiful dance of old and young that I think yeah. will serve everyone in every facet of their life. If they can just crack open that and really get to it and understand how it works for each of them, each person rather. Yeah.
Again, it comes down to choice. You know, what you seed and what you feed is what's going to grow. If it's not working for you in your current condition, then you need to plant new seeds and you need to water new seeds and you need to dig up your garden. And as you said before, yes, that means you may have to end relationships, walk away from a career that you've really invested in, leave a place that you thought you loved, you know, change everything about you and the way you look at life. And that's okay. Because if you are not representing yourself truthfully, then you are representing yourself as a lie. And that's not serving anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Most importantly, it's not serving yourself.
Absolutely not.
And I think that a lot of that lack of happiness that resides in the world is because people are just not living their true selves. And so you can label it a lie, you can label it whatever you want, misalignment, but it's there. And I think that's a big part of this unhappy pandemic, if you will, mm-hmm. globally.
You know, the elephant in the room, but you know, talking pandemic, the pandemic set people off in so many different avenues. There were the people that were angry and they're going to be in angst and fight. There were the people that accepted it for what it was and readjusted their lives. There were people that came to a complete stop in their lives and took a pause, reflected and redirected, right? You know, and there were people that just couldn't move on because there's still too much in the chaos. And I like a Celtic rune called Haglas. And it means disruption. You can't have clarity without disruption. Mm. Disruption clears away the old. You have to be willing to disrupt your life as it's being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. You do. And sometimes for some people, it takes a hand grenade. You got to throw a hand grenade in the room and you got to get messy, you know, and I think, yeah, over the last couple of years, you know, that was a really great breakdown of what people went through as a whole, you know. And shifting that, you know, the true pandemic of the world is mental health. That's the true pandemic, which I think ties into a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with here in terms of, you know, this unhappiness and the anxiety and this kind of outward association. All of that plays into this state of mental health worldwide.
Completely agree. We've had the health pandemic, COVID. We are in an anxiety pandemic. We're in a financial pandemic, right? But let's look at the world and where we were going and where some areas are still wanting to go because they want to hold on to the old. And the areas of where we need to go, because our consciousness has woken up and realized things aren't working. So we're really in a split lane right now, mm-hmm. where some people want to hold on. No, I don't want things to change. I want to stay angry. I want someone to blame, point finger at someone. Three yeah. fingers are pointing back at you. You know. And then the others are, no, look, we can't carry on like this. Our consciousness needs to change. I need to change if I want a better life. If we want this to be a better world, we all need to collectively change. But we're still very much in that fork in the road, aren't we?
We are. We are. And that fork may, I don't want to say may always be there, but that fork is going to be there for a while. I think, you know, I think what happens is people start to build their own overpasses to get back to the other side as it keeps going, unfortunately.
I
But
think
we gotta have
more the
faith,
split, the harder the overpass.
Well, that's true, right? I mean, the
Yeah.
longer
At
they
some point, you're
go,
gonna have to make a choice.
which you know, it gets back to how we talked about earlier. It's like the longer we go, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s,
Yes.
50s, and we try to rewire habitual patterns, it does become tougher because we've established things longer in our subconscious and our conscious. So,
Yes. More
you know, therefore,
garbage to
yeah.
get rid of.
Right. The harder the work, the deeper the work, the older we
Yes.
get, truthfully.
More rewarding though, because I think, you know, when you're young, you don't realize that even in youth, you know, you've carried your parents', you know, disruption. We're a products of our upbringing, be it parenting, be it school, be it religion, be it society, and we let's just take a good look right now. You know, it's all screwed up, meggly at the present moment, and so we are a product of that. Well, the younger we are to see that we are a product of that, and I don't want to be. It isn't a rebellion against your family or society as a soul. It is more of a connection with yourself and what you want for yourself. And as you're older, yes, you've got more garbage to get rid of. You've got more things to undo. But I also think because we've paused and slowed down, and we're only going to give our energy to what's important, that we become more focused on the work.
I mean, focus is key, and you know, we can become very efficient with what steps to take, what areas to focus on. You know, it's you know, for me, as I talk about in the book, in the jungle arena of my life, which was my poo-poo storm, if you will, of figuring out who I am and all of that, it was like a switch was flipped, but that didn't mean immediate results, right?
Yes.
However, what it meant was all of a sudden I started that slow down process that you were talking about, where I was like, I need to work on that, and I need to work on that. I'm okay with this. That doesn't serve me anymore. You know, and then you become what's the like I'm thinking of a assassin, right? They're very meticulous with what they're doing. I don't want to be negative energy, but you know what I mean? Like
In tuned.
they're tuned in,
Yes.
they're like hyper focused on what needs to happen, and that's part of the beauty of age. Because I don't think we have that when we're 30.
No.
If we can get, you know, so there's pros and cons of that. It's a good point.
Have children in their 30s, turning 34, 38, and one turning 40 this year. And it's like, how did that happen? I just turned 68. How did that happen? Life has gone by so fast. But it's only in the last, 20 years, you know, that I made a conscious choice. I left my husband and I started on my own discovery. And that took me down many different paths. And some were, okay, this road looks good. And no, it's a cul-de-sac, you know, and I've got to go all the way back. But, you know, it was what did you learn from it? Because there's nothing that happens without a reason. And although it ended up being a bumpy ride or a cul-de-sac, and I had to struggle to kind of get back to me, there were things that I'd learned about myself and skills and tools I'd picked up along the way that helped me on the next road that I took. And so, you know, we look at it sometimes and think, oh God, this is too hard. Or if I'm more in tuned with myself, why did I make that decision? Well, it was just another lesson to learn. And with each lesson, you become more in tuned with what you really do need and more selective of which road you're going to go down.
It's all a tapestry. We all have our own tapestry with which we weave our life experiences, our life lessons, all of that into how we show up at any stage of our life.
Yes.
And, you know, I like to think the older we get, you know, the more, especially if we do some work, the more complex the tapestry is. And within in my world, in terms of the coaching that I do, allows me a greater resource to help people by providing them either relatable context of situations that I've been in, because I've lived so many life experiences, because I've come out the other side on some, you know, fail forward moments in my life, and then taken those and elevated to the next step of my being, if you will. And, you know, when we walk in, you know, selfless, when we talk about contribution and being, being of service, that's a gift. So I go back in and I look at all those things. You know, I mean, my life has way more positive and unique life experiences than the negative, atom bombs in my life.
Right.
And yet, you know, the atom bombs are the ones that possibly helped me really get to that next level of growth.
The caterpillar into the butterfly, right? We all struggle, you know, into becoming. Did you say fail forward?
I did.
I love that. That's wonderful. I believe that failure is when we give up and don't try. But if we keep falling on our backside and keep getting back up, that's just the lesson learned. So I love the terminology fail forward. I also love the terminology flawsome. You know, every single one of us is flawed in one way or the other. In the Oriental culture, if a bowl breaks, they put it back together with gold, and then it becomes even more valuable because of the lessons of being put back together with strength, right? So I think if we could look at our flawsomeness, and that all of the things that have happened to us, all of the flaws that have been exposed that we've learned about ourselves, can make us pretty awesome.
It can. And I will tell you firsthand, Sarah, there is nothing more liberating than taking complete ownership over your carry-on baggage that you take through life, as you show up day in and day out, and you walk forward. You know, ownership and acceptance has created a peace, like this state of grace for me that I didn't know existed, you know, over the last 23 years of my life. Mm-hmm. Truthfully, 33. What am I talking about? 33 years of my life.
You know, I look back at the various stages of my life, and, you know, I've just written my memoir, and I don't know about you, but, you know, as you're going through it, and I just let it write itself, you know, just put it out there. And then in rereading it and editing it, it is like, oh, I'm beginning to see a common thread here, or I'm beginning to understand why that happened, or why this happened. And then like, oh gosh, look how far I've come from where I used to be. And then, you know, it's the journey of just writing it and then rediscovering myself, you know, after you've written it. It's quite something, isn't it?
Oh, it's magical. It truly is. You know, I was just on a podcast this morning actually talking about this, and I'll say that I said the exact same thing. Everyone should write their own life story. We don't have to publish it. Yep. Doesn't have to be a book. The lessons learned, we have to take ownership over our own growth. So we have to become students. I worked with Olympic athletes. In rowing, you have to become a student of rowing, just like any sport. And to really facilitate change in our own life, you have to understand the patterns. You have to go in, and writing helps you, as you just said, uncover these common threads, and then all of a sudden you connect the dots, and these light bulb moments go on, good and bad. Not even bad, but just good, and you know, aha, that's why I'm like this, or that's why I did those things. I had so many of those moments, and that helped me understand, you know. And I will say too, I'll break that down. Life story. Everyone, Sarah, everyone needs to rewrite their childhood. And I'm not coming from a trauma lens. I'm coming from just get back to who little Sarah was, who little Jimmy was. what was that curiosity? What was that wonder, that innocence? And then, you know, light the fire to that kindling, and then let that burn and bring that with you as you, you know, you were here in adult life. That was the pure magic of this book, because I never set out to write a book about my younger self. Mm-hmm. That wasn't my thing. That was the creative alchemy that happened in the process of writing. And now it's become the flag that I wave. It's crazy.
And I realize how much I've gone back to the innocence of my childhood. You know, I'm a very spiritual person, and I'm very empathic, and I live very, very spiritually. And my biggest problem was when I separated my spirit from my human self. And the human self was living up to the expectation of others and everything that you should be. You need to do this. You must do that. Why aren't you doing this? You're not anything because you're not that. And living to that perpetual doctrine that was in my face, and not trusting my spirit, where as a child had given me the gift of sight, had given me the gift of knowingness, had given me the gift of messages that people needed to have. And that when I was in my spirit, I was in my flow, I was in my purity, in my clarity. Why couldn't I be that in my human side? And it took a long time for me to take my spirit into my human side and become whole. And I did that when it no longer matters what you think of me. It only matters what I think of myself.
Amen.
But it's a journey, right? It's a journey.
Yeah. I mean, it is a journey. It is a journey. You know, even for the work that I've done, I mean, I'm out every day. I mean, I'm on stage, I'm on a book tour, I'm speaking. And I mean, I just basically expose myself to the world, you know, there are times where I'm like, I hear that voice that you know, mm-hmm. Oh, well, what are they, you know, are they going to judge you? Are you want to be liked? Are you concerned that, you know, people are going to buy your book or whatever it is? It's still there, you know?
Yes. And you just know how to shut it up.
Yeah. You know, it becomes almost like an annoying whisper.
Yes. Like buzz off. Buzz off.
Yeah. Buzz off. Get the back seat.
You're back seat driver. Get out of here. Yeah, and that's the thing. People think that when you know, when you've decided to go down this different road and step into self-love and acceptance and who you are and your beautiful essence, that you're never going to have that again. You're never going to have doubt. You're never going to have, you know, oh, the what ifs. And I always say, change the what ifs. What if they do like me? What if my message does have an effect for someone? Yeah. You know, what if I am proud of what I've contributed today? And if we stop worrying less about what other people want from us, and understand the gift that we're giving, only those that are ready to receive are going to relate, to receive, or react on it. But those that don't, it's not hitting them, then no, then they're not going to connect. So therefore, yes, you have disappointed them, but that's not on you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No comparison and no competition. Those are two words I'd like to see out of our personal vocabulary when it comes to self.
I love that. I'll double up on that, and I'll say, take that out of the culture, because we live in a comparison culture. Yes.
Holy
mackerel.
I know.
It's brutal.
I mean, you've worked with sports students, and I'm sure there's always the comparison to be, I want to be like so-and-so. I've got to be like so-and-so. I want what so-and-so has got. Instead of looking at, I want to be the very best I can be. I want to be that person that others looked up to and not compare. How did you find that with the people you were coaching?
Well, I found it. I found it a lot in terms of, you know, sports. Everything's measurable, and so your fitness, your aptitude. You know, there's certain things that are measurable, and you know, they have a purpose to you know, choose the fittest people, let's say, technically, you know. And yet, you know, like right away, everyone's comparing, like in rowing, everyone compares each other's test scores on the rowing machine, right? So comparison is right there, right? you know, the data, everyone's like, what you doing in test? What you doing in mm-hmm. test? You know, in the acting world, when I was in New York and LA and that whole scene, it was the mm-hmm. same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I my self-worth was based on if whether or not I booked the job.
No, you're either the right fit or the wrong fit. That's all it was, you know, yeah. Don't take it personally.
Well, I know, but you know, you get caught up in a world like, you know, because yeah. you know, it's not about talent. Truthfully, right. that world is not about talent. You know, the sports world is about talent to a large degree because there are measurables. The acting world, if you will, though, I mean,
popularity.
Really, it's... Mm. And living in that world for 14 years, you know, that was a great period in my life and allowed me so many amazing life experiences and also provided the most damage.
Yeah. Me. Yes. I know it's an oxymoron, isn't it? You know? Oh. But, you know, I mean, I've interviewed people who have had some horrific things happen to them that no other human being should do that to a human being. And yet, yes, they had to recover, but they made a choice to go through the process of their own self-discovery, not to be the victim, to find their courage, their strength, their abilities, to be more than what happened to them. And who they are today and what they're doing today is exemplary. It is absolutely extraordinary. But they will all say, they still have triggers. They still have those moments. The only thing is they know how to handle those moments now. They know how to recognize them. Oh, maybe this is just saying I'm fatigued or I'm overwhelmed right now. And they use that trigger as an indication for more self-care, right? Instead of I'm going back there. And the most courageous people, I think, are the people that have been through the most pain. But one of the things that we want to do, and I'm sure you're doing with the message in your book, we want to stop other people from having to go through the pain to find their realization. You don't have to suffer. Struggle, yes, but you don't have to suffer.
Yeah, yeah. There's enough suffering going on.
Way too much.
You know, I think everyone's journey is everyone's journey. Yes. So, you know, I don't think I have the ability to wave a magic wand and tell all my readers that, you know, their life journey will be painless. Some will be more painful than others. Should they want to honor their truth? Should they, you know, that collateral damage we talked about? I think it also, in my case, it was a journey of scar tissue too. So it was like mm-hmm. layer upon layer mm-hmm. that, you know, when I imploded, it was a profound implosion because of the things leading up to that. You know, some people, and it's interesting, right? Because some people, you know, will have a life defining, like
light bulb moment, yeah.
right, where they all their life is rainbows and unicorns for the most part, and all of a sudden they get diagnosed with cancer and yeah. their life and it's completely upside down. So there's people that have those kind of moments, or in my case, it was kind of like a slow downward kind of descent, mm-hmm. You know, through, it was like an EKG.
But, yeah.
you know, but it was kind of just, you know, gearing up towards the.
Yeah. The explosion. Right, so, I know that through, you know, my book, you know, one of the common threads of the message that I came to say was the never feeling enough for anyone. Always being too different, never feeling enough. Is this something that in your book that kept standing out to you, that was a message that kept coming back to you?
Sarah, so not feeling enough for others?
Yeah. I'm probably for myself as well. You're just not feeling adequate enough. But that was the common thread that I kept seeing through all of mine, is that always feeling I let people down because I wasn't what they wanted me to be. And so I was letting myself down, but I felt I was letting others down because I wasn't enough. Was there something that was constantly, you know, a thread through your book that you kept saying, this has been repeated a lot?
Well, yes, to a degree. My unanswerable question is, can my fantasy life be my reality? And that is the albatross that has hung around me much of my life. And that started with, you know, little Jimmy overcoming asthma through.
I have it too.
Yeah, right. Through the power of dreaming. There you go. Puffer, blue puffer.
Blue puffer. Still got it.
I know, right? Through the power of dreaming and performing in the hospital all the time. And then that association. Mm-hmm. So there was this thing. And then, you know, little Jimmy wanted to get the girl, but he never could because he wasn't athletic enough because of his asthma. And then that started to shift. And all of a sudden, he could do things and he could start to kind of write the script, and he was able to achieve some sports accolades at a high level. And he all of a sudden he went to New York and LA, and then he started to get this attention. And so even right now, I struggle with that blend. And the piece that I have is I know that my world, James's world, is reality and fantasy in everything, in the conversation, in a relationship, and returning back here to New England, and you know what I envision it in my head, and then coming here, and then the reality of it, you know, that's always been my kind of juggle.
I have to say, I'm glad to hear you say that, because not many people do. As a sickly child with asthma, I got it at the age of 2. I also got eczema, weeping eczema along with it. So in and out of hospital, right? So many limitations on you, because back then didn't have the pump, you know, so it was just a pill that took a while and everybody had to calm you down so you didn't get into an asthma attack or off to the hospital. And so I wanted to be a dancer, I wanted to be a singer, couldn't be those things, right? So always you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. But I was left alone a lot. Your mom would come in with breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or there if I had an asthma attack. Otherwise, I was in a room with four walls on my own for weeks on end. So I went off dimensional traveling. I lived in a different plane altogether. And it's still very much my foot in both worlds. I'm still very much, some people call it fantasy. For me, I'm living literally on other planes when this one gets too much. And it's still very much part of my world.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
But I don't think it's wrong. I think it's for us, I think it's like we can go and do things in that other world that we can't do here, or that we can learn from and bring back here.
Yeah, yeah. I just channeled that. Yeah, I just downloaded that. I think for me, the romance of how I show up, you know, and the creative artistry by which I live is born in the fantasy, and then it comes into the reality, and that then there's an end result. And so I think a lot of my success, actually I'll say my achievements and my failures have been born in the fantasy world.
Mm-hmm. And I think depends what the fantasy is. The fantasy wanting to live up to that expectation, or is that fantasy of universal knowledge and wisdom being shown to you in a different format, like a movie, that then you bring back? So I think there's two sides to that fantasy. And I think it's what state of mind we're in as to which fantasy dictates.
Well, yeah, I mean, and again, for me, getting back to little Jimmy, just like you, my only weapon, because I was isolated, my only weapon was the ability to dream.
Yes.
And escape. And so I now, as an adult, I live in a movie every day.
Me too. I can't go to bed. I can't go to sleep with that one. I've got one parallel all the time. And there's always one going in my head to put me to sleep. Sometimes it becomes too good and I can't go to sleep.
So I call them symphonic moments. I live for these symphonic moments on the micro and macro level daily. And those are, for me, those are the moments where there's a score, you know, in my head. I'm like, even back home now, I got the fall leaves, I got the colors, I got the wind blowing the leaves off the tree, I got the Christmas in the air, I got the breath exhalation, I just got the music, and it's like it's a symphonic moment. And those are the moments, those movie moments, where I feel most alive.
Yes. And I call that living on another plane, in another dimension. And I think for people a lot like us, not just us, a lot like us, that find it very hard to live in this very tumultuous, heavy vibrational world, it is a place of peace, and then we try and keep bringing that peace back to the world.
Mm-hmm. We do. And that is what I trust some of my readers will take away is bringing that into their lives and looking for that peace, that artistry, that intimacy, that truth, the freedom. Those are the four compass points that I operate by, bringing that into their lives, and just feeling more alive.
I think one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves or trust with anybody else is our vulnerability. Mm. And it's a big one, vulnerability. I think it's bigger than giving love to someone, because when you're giving your vulnerability in that trust, when you're being vulnerable with yourself, there's an honesty attached to that, that is a base core line truth that cannot be anything else.
100%. And you know, vulnerability itself is probably the greatest act of strength. Mm. I've had some people close to me, you know, worry about some of the things that I've shared in my book, mm-hmm. About my shortcomings. And again, the strength lies in the vulnerability. The truth lies in the vulnerability. I don't have the luxury of hand picking things that happen in my life and just pick that one out of the closet and pick that one out of the closet. It's like, if I want people to learn, then they have to learn. They have to have truth. There has to be a conduit of this is exposing everything. And the reason it's done is to serve the story, to therefore inspire you to ask yourself some hard questions or take a journey yourself.
And, you know, there's also kind of the no blame. You know, I had a very tumultuous marriage. My husband is addressed but not named, same with another relationship. And you know, I've named the people that have stepped up in my life that have been there for me, because I will celebrate them and I won't name the other people. But we've also got to understand whatever's been done to us, quite essentially for us, we also invite it. And, you know, I had somebody who was a browbeater, and until he had kind of drawn piranha blood, wasn't satisfied, and then denied everything because he was a denialist. I gave him the boots to kick me with, right? But he put the boots on and kicked, so that was his onus. When I stopped giving him the boots, when I used to say to him, take it up with your mirror, that's the only one that's interested, and I would no longer buy into that. It wasn't that I physically changed, is that my aura changed, my vibration changed. And he had no longer that control over me because I didn't give it to him anymore. And that empowerment of self was so empowering, the fact that he no longer could do that to me because I had taken onus myself of what I was giving him, the fuel, to give back to me. Mm-hmm. So you know, we realize those things, you know, when we write them out, when we look at them. And could we have done things better? Yes, in a different state of being, we could have. But it's, don't persecute yourself for what has been, for all the mistakes we've made, because those mistakes are what we learn from. It's what builds our character. It's what teaches us who we really are. And it shows us how we then can connect back to the honesty, the vulnerability, and the truth of that inner child, of mm-hmm. that supreme love of life and just simple love and honesty that we want to conduct our lives from as an adult.
Mm. Yeah, and that's my goal is to get back to that innocence and that, you know, curious, and wake up every day, walk out my door as if I'm walking out my door when I was 7 years old, and
exploring.
You know, the neighborhood was the canvas.
Yes,
and that's. You know, that's the first part of the book is very nostalgic and just getting back to that ability to create. I'll just share this with you, Sarah, because I use this a lot in my keynotes and it stemmed from the book. And, you know, we as adults, we were all geniuses once in our life. And we were all Beethovens, as I like to say. When we were young, we had the ability to compose our ode to joy each and every day. And that, let's just get back to that. And now that ode of joy can be around living with a family, around creating an entrepreneurial effort, around running a team, around anything. It can be still composed with that through that lens versus a lot of what we talked about, that negative, that heaviness of modern day adulthood, if you will.
I think when we step into ourselves and truly love and care for ourselves in a way that we are being truthful and honest with self, it doesn't matter what hat we have on, relationship, business, nurturer, lover, doesn't matter which hat. That's the hat that you're in at the present moment. But the essence of who you are now and who you, the love that you live in should always be under every hat.
I think that was the mic drop right there. That was pretty good.
So other than obviously doing speaking engagements with the book, you know, you do coaching as well. So whom do you coach and what kind of coaching?
Yeah, I have a two-lane kind of coaching platform. So I work with business owners. So I work with small business owners, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, so forth. On business development, on brand story, on pivoting, on elevating, maybe creating a secondary revenue stream, like an online coaching platform for coaches. I work with a lot of coaches, it seems. I help them create content, build content, so forth. And then I work with executive coaching, so life coaching, and getting and just elevating people, getting them out of their own way, getting them back into little so-and-so, bringing that person with them and helping them up. And holding space. And as a conscious male who does lead with love and who has, who truly has a lot of life experiences by which to pull from, it served me really well. It served me really well. No matter what, I am in the business of people. People are a business unto themselves. So. Yes. Whether you're a business owner, a wife, whatever that, a mother, that is a business. And underneath that business is a person. And how do I get that person running optimally, efficiently, and bringing some play into their lives?
Yeah. Every single thing is about relationships. First and foremost, the relationship with self. Yeah. That relationship is with self is what you are reflecting out on everybody else. So if other people are receiving you perhaps negatively or not in a good light or not connecting with you, it is because of the reflection that you're putting out. You owe it to yourself to be truth in your essence, in your love, in your passion for who you are, in the commitment and dedication of your beautiful gift that you are sharing, your contribution. Because everybody has a contribution to make in this world. We don't live here rent-free. We've all got to be of service to one another. When we find that gift and we become that gift unto one another, then we are living in that truth and that honesty. As I've said before, does your particular instrument, is that the instrument somebody's looking for at that moment? Maybe not, but it doesn't mean it's a wrong instrument. There's somebody out there that wants that instrument. Just keep on playing, but play it not from a place of expectation or desperation. Play it from a place of real love and compassion, but first and foremost, compassion for self.
Self-love. Self-love all the way.
It's the hardest thing, I think, for people to step into, self-love, because it does take a journey. But when you get there and you go, you know, I'm all right. You know, I could I be better? Yeah, perhaps, but you know what? I'm all right. I'm okay.
I'm all right.
Yeah. I'm all right. Yeah. Right. I am what I am, as Popeye says. And I think that acceptance of self, it takes so much burden off us, of this expectation that everybody else has on us. You know, I'm not here to please you. I'm here to be pleasing. If it pleases you, that's good. If it doesn't, right. It doesn't.
Right. Love that. Love that.
So we need to take the journey. And we learn through other people's journeys. Inspiration begets invitation. So when you read a book like yours and you're inspired by the journey that you've taken, the honesty in which you reveal yourself, people start seeing the reflection of themselves in it. And in that reflection is the invitation to change and invest in yourself. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Please don't go and buy another car. Don't go and buy a bigger house. Don't go and do all of this. Invest in yourself. That's truly where the enrichment and the abundance is. Everything else is just extra.
It's true. Yeah.
Where do people buy the book? Where do people find you? And what kind of services, what tier of services that you're offering?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, so first and foremost, my main website is called theherowithin.ca. Theherowithin.ca. So that has all the information about me, what I do, my background, my podcast that I've been on, podcasts that I've had, my TV show that I had for 2 years in Canada, and of course, the book. The book, for people really wanting to take a journey, the book is it's an award-winning book. I've been very blessed to have a series of 5-star reviews, 4-star reviews. It's only been out now 2 months. It has a dedicated site. It's allinwithlove.com, just the title of the book, allinwithlove.com. That will take your community to a really diverse deep dive into the book. I've, because of my film background, I've put together small video snippets of me doing excerpts to movie images of me reading chapters, bringing in the different dynamics of the book. And this is not a self-growth book. There are self-growth takeaways. This is an entertaining journey of a boy who becomes a man who goes on a quest to find the boy again. And it's done so in a storytelling style that is unique. There's different writing styles in there. There's Shakespearean chorus. There's screenplay format. There's verse. There's a poetic nature by which I write. There's a lot of anecdotal celebrity things in there. So it's quite entertaining. And I truly feel it's an emotional ride. So allinwithlove.com, it's there. The ebook is there as well. Everything there helps me out, helps my journey to get this story and to bring the power to your community, to everyone else, about reconnecting to their younger self and what that can do for them. So allinwithlove.com. My contact information is there. People can reach me directly. I have an open door policy. I love to have conversations. I do speaking engagements. I do intimate keynotes, as we talked about, and coaching for individuals, for corporates, whatever people are looking for. Reach out and we can have a conversation. It all starts with a conversation.
It always does. First with yourself, but sometimes you need it with someone else to go in and have that conversation with yourself. You've done the television thing, you've done the movie thing, the Chippendale thing, you've been there, you've lived life, you've had experience, good or bad. Here on your show page, I actually have your book, and I also have one of your videos, the book synopsis, allinlove.com, the hero within, theherowithin.ca/podcast, james@theherowithin.ca email. Instagram, James Gardner. Now, Gardner is GARDINER, like gardenia.
That's right.
and Facebook, jim.gardenia.canordinaryinspire, LinkedIn, James Gardner, and reach out. Please do reach out. We have that conversation. You never know where that connection's going to be. Read the book. And, I'm a huge advocate for books for Christmas. You know, books are a wonderful gift that keep on giving, whether you pass the book on or you keep the book, but something in the book that keeps on giving to you. You read something and then later on you remember something else you've read, or you pick it up again and, I get that this time, or I resonate with that this time. And that's the beauty of a book. It just keeps on giving to you. So, you know, if you know somebody that's going through, and who isn't, going through a redirect in life, or, you know, at a crossroads in life, you know, this is the book to give, because it helps people understand somebody else's journey and they start looking at their own. And anything we can do to pivot people in the right direction,
that's right,
is okay with me. Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank Love you so that. Much, James. Wonderful having you here.
Sarah, thank you so much. Thank you for your energy, your insight, your play. And, you know, you just, your selfless act of service to try to elevate others. And you and I are doing our part to turn up the dial, and hopefully this is well received with your community at large.
Exactly. And, you know, if every single one of us became the drop in the ocean of kindness, imagine what kind of ocean we would have. Mm-hmm. Right? It's true, all true. Up to us.
True, true.
Until everyone out there, until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Find all of our shows on selfdiscoverymedia.com under podcasts or selfdiscoverymedia/shows. And for all our current shows, go to What's New. We are supported by you, the audience. You'll see a nice big shiny blue button for one-time donations, or follow us on Patreon and you will be able to support us there. We enjoy bringing you such wisdom. And the next show will be up in just a moment.